This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. When Governor Snyder volunteered to release a batch of emails concerning the Flint water crisis, it reminded us again that Michigan is ranked dead last of all 50 states in transparency, according to a study by the Center for Public Integrity and Global Integrity. Well, one of the reasons is because Michigan is one of two states where the governor's office and the state legislature are exempt from the Freedom of Information Act. That's the law that allows us as citizens to hold our elected officials accountable for their actions by letting us access documents and records, except in rare occasions. Just how did this come to be? Let's talk FOIA exemptions now as we welcome Melanie McElroy, Executive Director of Common Cause Michigan. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And welcome to Mike Wright, who is the Executive Vice Director at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Cindy. Thank you.
So I'm very interested in getting your views on, first of all, the governor's release of more than 270 pages of emails last week. Are you satisfied with what was released, Mike?
The governor released a number of emails related to the Flint water situation. It really was an extraordinary measure to do so. But I think ultimately people will want to see additional records related to conversations around that situation. The fact that the governor's office is entirely exempt from requirements under the public records law means that the emails that were released were only the ones that were sent or received by the governor's office, and there are probably a number of other email chains that are going to be relevant to really getting to the bottom of the Flint water situation.
Well, Melanie, what were your thoughts on what's been called the email dump?
Well, our members have been calling for this for a couple of months now. Just last week, we launched a petition calling for the governor to release these documents. And just over a couple of days, it received 44,000 signatures. And that's the largest that we've ever had. Our organization has been around since the 70s, so we were really impressed with that number. And he did address the issue of transparency, and he has started this email dump. It's a little depressing when you open it on that link. The first couple emails are almost completely retracted. But I think the larger issue here is that people are demanding full transparency. The people of Flint have a right to know why their water was poisoned with lead, why their children are ill. And you can't do that by picking and choosing which emails you make public and when that happens. So we're really excited to move forward with promoting an overhaul of our system as it is and promote FOIA reform. And that's the Freedom of Information Act as it is now in Michigan, which we don't think does enough.
Let's frame this in some context here. As we said, that study from the Center for Public Integrity and Global Integrity put Michigan in last place of all the 50 states. So there we are. Mike, how did we sink to the bottom?
Well, I want to point out that that study looked at a number of different factors.
It did.
Not just FOIA. They looked at how contracts are managed. They looked at transparency in the executive branch and the legislative branch. And so I think you really have to zoom in on individual features to evaluate where we are. In terms of Michigan's FOIA law, we have a fairly robust FOIA law that does need some improvements. I agree. And there are a couple of big ones I think we're going to talk about. But just as a way of comparison, you know, the study did give Michigan an F. It gave Illinois a B or a B plus, and four of the last seven governors from Illinois are in jail right now. So you know, just one grade that it looks at 50 different characteristics is a little bit of a limited view. I think you really have to zoom in on the particular policies that we need to evaluate, like whether or not the executive branch should be subject to FOIA.
Melanie, what are the exemptions to Michigan's Freedom of Information Act exactly?
Currently, the governor's office and our legislature are exempt from the Freedom of Information Act, and that's not the case in 48 other states. There will always be some exemptions when there are these kind of transparency laws, anything that might contain sensitive information, personal information, any kind of security information. But for the most part, many states allow for these offices to be FOIA'd.
Mike, how did these exemptions come to be?
Well, they're enacted through the legislature, and I want to point out a couple of different approaches that states use. Some states have a lot of exemptions, and some states have just a few, and there are trade-offs with either approach. Michigan doesn't have too many. Some states have hundreds or even more than that, but they come to being through the legislative process. Michigan's FOIA law was adopted in the late 70s, And there are both exemptions in the law, so things that would otherwise be public, but we're going to treat them as not public. And there's also a question of whether or not a particular body is subject to the FOIA law to begin with. And that's the case here in Michigan, where the legislature made a decision when it first enacted FOIA not to subject the office of the governor or the office of the lieutenant governor to the requirements of the Freedom of Information Act.
Why was that? What was the reasoning behind that and the defense for keeping it this way?
You know, I can't answer the justification behind that. I know this has come up a number of times over the years, whether or not the governor should be subject to FOIA. And the Mackinac Center has recommended that in the past, and we think generally it is a good idea to have the governor's office treated the same way as other branches of government or other agencies under the Freedom of Information law. And really, it comes down to the statement of public policy that FOIA includes in the statute. It says that all persons are entitled to know full and complete information regarding the affairs of government and the official acts of those who represent them as public officials. Well, if that's true of a school board member or a local city council member, certainly it's true of a person in the governor's office or some other state agency. The justification for FOIA, unfortunately, is very clear and very apparent in situations like the one we have now with the Flint water crisis, where decisions were made that will affect people's lives in horrific ways for years and years to come. And the people of Flint and the people of Michigan justifiably want to know who made these decisions and how were they made and why did we get it wrong.
You know, it strikes me in order to change the situation we have and change the laws, we need the legislature and we need the governor to agree to more public scrutiny. But it strikes me that there are few politicians, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, that are real keen to do that. Is this a partisan issue in your view, Melanie, or is this politicians are not interested in that bright light?
I think when you're faced with a crisis like they have been this year in Flint, any administration would be worried if they think that documents will surface to incriminate them or any of their friends. This is not something that we are attacking because any particular party is in charge here. Mm-hmm. I think that FOIA laws help everyone. I think the more information that voters have, the more engaged they feel and the more they will support their elected officials in return. I think that that's one key aspect, actually, of any reform that we implement here in Michigan is to make sure that there's no cost prohibition for people who are seeking this information from FOIA. It shouldn't be so expensive that you are prohibited from finding answers to your questions. It should also be readily available in a searchable database online so that people can easily find this information. They're not carrying around boxes of papers. And I think that another piece to look into is the idea of not just making the elected official subject to FOIA, but also key staff members. Because as we know, a lot of these conversations don't necessarily happen with the elected in the loop, but with their advisors.
Mike, how do we go about making a change?
Well, this will take legislation. I would like to point out that when Governor Snyder was running as a candidate in his first election, he did pledge to sign a bill making the governor's office subject to FOIA if that bill ever made it to his desk.
There's the if, right?
There's still a hurdle that would have to be overcome in terms of a legislative effort. But even in 2009, there was legislation introduced by Representative Lund at the time that would have made that change. And so that will take legislation to change whether or not the law applies to the governor's office. And I couldn't agree more with Melanie on the concern about the cost of records. You know, if an agency receives a request for records and that cost of the response is so great that the person cannot pay the bill, that really constitutes an effective denial of the records request. And we have seen instances where agencies turn in massive bills in response to records requests. Even the Mackinac Center some years ago received a bill from the state police for more than $6 million for them to fulfill a records request that we had.
Wait, say that again because my jaw just hit the ground.
We requested records from the Michigan State Police related to the expenditure of funds through the Department of Homeland Security. And the bill we received in order to fulfill the request was $6.7 million for the number of records that they would have to search and copy and supply. And that amount exceeded our annual budget, and so we decided we wouldn't be able to pay that bill, and we didn't obtain those records.
Interesting. I'm talking with Mike Reitz, who's Executive Vice Director at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, as well as Melanie McElroy, Executive Director of Common Cause Michigan, as we look at the FOIA exemptions that exist in Michigan. Should executive branches have exemptions? Let's say reform is able to be pushed through and this gets broken down. Should there be any exemptions for executive branches? Melanie.
We understand that there may be a limited set of exemptions, like information that's prohibited by federal laws that already exist, trade secrets, financial information that's confidential or privileged, information that would invade an individual's personal privacy. Mm-hmm. But we still have a lot of room to work with that.
How about you, Mike? Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that if you're going to require an executive agency or branch to provide records under FOIA, which is generally a good policy, there will be exemptions to that that are justified in the law. I think those exemptions should be few. I think they should be interpreted narrowly. But there is a situation that is special to offices of governors that we'll have to think about in this state. You mentioned earlier that Michigan is one of maybe only two states that exempt the governor's office from FOIA.
With Massachusetts being the other, right?
Right. But there are a number of other states that have recognized fairly sweeping privileges in the governor's office through the courts, whether they call it gubernatorial privilege or deliberative process or executive privilege. A number of state Supreme Courts have said, we're going to recognize that in certain instances, the governor can act with the same kind of authority that a president would act, the U.S. president. And in those cases, there might be a justification for an executive privilege. Other states have called that deliberative process, where they've wanted to protect the give and take of advice that a governor is seeking and receives in any given situation. But those protections, I think, should have a short shelf life. In other words, maybe in real time, you want the governor to get the best advice possible and have a range of good options and bad options in front of them that they can decide, what the best course of action is. And maybe in that moment, there's some benefit to having that discussion, in a closed, candid environment. But eventually, those records should be released to the public because the public ought to know not only what was decided, but who made the decision and how that decision was made.
You know, it strikes us that more and more files are stored in cloud storage and unless I'm wrong, my understanding is FOIAs right now only apply to paper files. And since, we're thinking of files being online, do we see a way for the FOIA process to go digital?
It has in one sense. The way that the law defines records, it does include digital records. So if you request an email from the governor's or from an agency that's subject to FOIA, you'll get a copy of that email. If you request a Microsoft Word document, you'll get a copy of that document.
Okay.
What I think you're getting at, though, is how do we take advantage of the technological advances that exist now with cloud storage, mm-hmm. and with open source documents so that individuals who want records from an agency don't need to go through a laborious process of requesting records and copying those records and mailing them. But instead, if they could go to a public database, it would be so much quicker and cost effective to supply records in that manner.
You know, every year we have what's called Sunshine Week, and that's where journalists and policy wonks will get together and talk about the importance of transparency at all levels of government. Up until now, it's always seemed pretty much that people kind of glaze over when these conversations are happening. But do you think what we've seen play out even in these recent weeks with the great interest that's grown and grown in what's happening with Flint water, has that, do you think, based on the response, Melanie, that you got with your petition, do you think the public is kind of catching on to this issue now in a way it had not before?
I think they absolutely are. And I've been really surprised, actually, at the response, because groups like both of ours have been talking about these kinds of reforms for decades. And it's not until right now that we've gotten this overwhelming response from our members asking us, what are we going to do next? They're not releasing enough information. What can we do to reform this policy? And so we're excited about that. We hope that that momentum carries through, that folks are talking to their legislators on both sides of the aisle so that we can pass some comprehensive reform. And I think also folks are trying to think ahead. How can we prevent crises like what we see in Flint from happening in other cities? Our infrastructure is not only crumbling there. We're bound to see more issues. We have other emergency managed cities. There's a lot that can happen. And I think that the more transparency we have on the front end, the more elected officials and their staff might stop and think. If our emails, if our documents are subject to public scrutiny, we may behave a little differently. We may make decisions a little bit differently. So I don't only think that FOIA reforms and other transparency measures are helpful as a reaction to crises, but they might help prevent things from happening in the future.
Mike, what are you hearing in your team? What are you hearing?
Yeah, well, I just thought of a quote from James Madison, who said that knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and people who want to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power that knowledge provides. Even back at the founding of our country, there was a recognition that the people can best govern themselves and through a representative democracy when they have information about what those officials are doing on their behalf. Now, yes, I agree. In times of crisis or when there is a government failure, certainly with the Flint water crisis, there is heightened interest to find out what happened and how can we fix it and how can we prevent it in the future. And that is certainly called for in this situation. So I think that this kind of situation can provide additional interest in transparency efforts and efforts to make sure that, that government is open and accountable. And, there are a number of things that can be done in addition to the things that we've discussed. The cost of records, there's additional exemptions that probably could be constrained in some ways. I even think that, for a person who wants to bring a legal action against an agency that's not providing records properly, that there might be changes in where that action can be brought. A couple years ago, the legislature changed the law so that if you're suing a state agency, you have to sue in a specific county or in the court of claims. You can't bring that action in your local court. Well, that change might not serve Flint residents well if they want to get records from DEQ. And so those things have to be thought of as well. That's why we think a comprehensive, thoughtful approach on reforming FOIA is appropriate, and we've certainly been talking about it for some time.
Mike Reitz is with the Mackinac Center for Public Policy and Melanie McElroy with Common Cause Michigan. Great talking to both of you. Thank you so very, very much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.